I don't know about you, but I'm super excited about Jesus in the middle of us this morning. The only appropriate response to that, according to this, is praise. The only appropriate response is to respond to God with praise, thanksgiving. If you read this book, whatever, the great life. Sharon, that was awesome community. Awesome worship, guys. Thank you. Give these guys a hand clap. They can go sit down. And we're all sitting down. Anyway, let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this morning. And we're going to believe God that His Word would... Oh, boy, here it is up here. Look, unshackled. That we would be unshackled this morning, okay? I reckon it's so easy to get shackled by the circumstances of life. I reckon it's so easy to be shackled by our past, by our shame, by whatever. It's amazing what holds people back and restricts them from stepping into their God-given destiny. And I believe that today, I believe that on this altar this morning, I mean, come on, who right now experienced something on this altar? Man, there was a touch of heaven on this altar this morning. And I believe right now, step into God's purpose-driven destiny on your life today, okay? As you're standing, Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God. We are excited about your word. God, we're expectant to receive from your word this morning. God, put something in our hearts and in our spirit man, in our spirit woman this morning that would shift us, God, that would propel us, would direct us toward your destiny and your purpose in our life. God, don't let us be what we were. Don't let us be locked in our path. But God, we pray right now, right across from the backside of this building to the front, from the left hand to the right. Holy Spirit, I give you the authority to walk up and down every aisle, every row right now. In between every seat, God, we thank you for the miracle of heaven this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I don't know. When I was praying, this whole family here, jump out into the aisle. I want to pray for you this morning, okay? I just felt God say, I want you to go and speak and call into being what I destined for this family. And that's probably for every family in the place. But I reckon for you guys, get ready for the next season in your life. I believe that God says, because of your faithfulness, because you've pushed through, because you came beyond the obstacles and continued to believe in my name. God, because you never faltered. God said you didn't falter in your faith. You held on to the promise that God had given you. And God says, because of your faithfulness to him, because you rejoiced in the God of your salvation, even when it didn't look like it was working out, even you girls, get ready for what God's about to do in your life. But Father, we declare over their lives this morning, we activate the promise of God. As a dad right now, the power of God, that's a power of God coming on you, sir. Get ready to carry a whole new mantle over this family, over this home, over everything you face today. I thank you, God. Mum, receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life this morning in Jesus' mighty name. On these girls, God, I thank you, Lord, for a spirit of faith that's going to change circumstances, even an environment you're in. You're going to carry an anointing into the environment that's going to shift the environment. You're going to be an atmosphere changer in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for a spirit of faith in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a hand clap right there. He's worthy of all of our praise. You can't just sit down after that. I want you to get out of your seat, go greet someone, say, get ready for God's word, and prepare your heart to receive. Okay, as you make your way back to your seat, as you come on, you greeters, you're all looking good this morning. You must be feeling great. I'm not feeling quite so good this morning after I came in and greeted. I'm very, very sorry. I have already lost your name. Amelda? No? Anyway, sat down beside a girl this morning who is a manager at the gym and greeted her, and it reminded me of how long it is since I've been there. And that's going to ruin your day every time. And so I was thinking, Pam and Owen, she said they've been there. Where are you, Pam and Owen? They're not here this morning. Oh, they are? Thought they couldn't turn up because they've been at the gym. They're too sore. Anyway, no. So, hey, but there's nothing like stretching yourself and keep, like, I don't need to go to the gym, to be honest with you, because I dance on the altar, do a few physical exercises on the altar. And I don't know, I've been in so many services this week. It's been like, I just feel like I've been like doing a workout every service. We had a great service on Friday night. I was speaking at a conference over in the West, and we saw a bunch of people saved. God is on the throne, I tell you, and God's doing great stuff all around the world, and get ready for what God wants to continue to do in your life. And because here's what the Bible says, they that hunger and thirst. Is there anybody thirsty in the house today? Hungry, maybe? You got to be hungry. I mean, hunger is the key to life. The first the natural and then the spiritual. There's a lot to do with hunger and the natural that you take into the spirit realm. If you can't get hungry, man, get hungry in the spirit realm. Just get hungry. Make a decision, I'm going to be hungry. And I don't think it's that difficult either to be hungry for the things of God. You don't work very hard at making yourself hungry. I mean, you can eat a huge feed before you go to bed at night. You get up in the morning, you're hungry again. What's that all about? Why can't we be like that in the spirit? You know, I mean, you go to bed, you don't do anything all night, and you get up hungry. I mean, man, we're always hungry. You can eat the biggest feed in your life last night, and you can't fit another thing in, but you'll wake up in the morning hungry for something else. I mean, come on. I believe the same in the spirit. We need to get hungry for the things that God wants to do in our life. And I believe, and to some degree, ministry, even Jesus said it, that his ministry was a response to the appetite of the spirit realm, the appetite of the people, the appetite of the crowd, that it draws out what the spirit wants to do on that day. I believe you can arrive somewhere and get a miracle that wasn't really yours, but just because you were hungry. Remember the woman who pressed through the crowd? She didn't deserve that miracle. She was unclean, unfit. She was in shame. She didn't deserve. And religious rule in her day would have said that miracle was not for her. Undeserved. But she was like, forget you. And I'm pressing through the crowd. I'm pressing through the mindset. I'm pressing through the doubts, the fears, the inferiority. I'm pressing through the restrictions in my own life because I'm afraid of myself, and I'm going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment today. I wonder if we did that in singing, because you can get a miracle that you didn't even deserve. I think most of the miracles I've had in life, I am convinced I don't deserve them half the time, but because he's a good God. Come on, he's a good God, and he loves you, and he's got so many treasures in store for you. Let's not miss out on what God wants to do in our lives, okay? Remember, the oil flowed only in response to the capacity. When the widow put out the however many vessels her sons brought in, the oil only flows to the capacity that you would present before the Lord. So how much capacity are we bringing today? I mean, we're talking about unshackled right now. Unshackled. I mean, has anybody been unshackled? It's about breaking chains. Being unshackled is about breaking chains. The only good time, the only time when it's not good for your chain to break is when you're riding your bike uphill. It's not a great experience. And many have probably had that experience. But here's what I can tell you right now. That when chains are broken over your spiritual life, to know the freedom that Jesus won for you on Calvary, there is nothing greater. Yet we consistently step back into bondage. We allow ourselves to be victimized by the enemy and circumstances in our lives. Until even Peter, remember Peter? The Apostle Peter, denying and rejecting Jesus. And even Peter, I think many of us suffer the Peter syndrome. I believe that many of us come under the Peter syndrome where we get in a situation where it's expected of us. where what's expected of us feels like it isn't there. Anybody been there? Where your faith is on trial, as it were, where the opportunity to deliver what's on the supposed to be on the inside of you is blocked out by everything that the enemy would try to intimidate you, to discredit you with. And I find too many people live discredited in what they are and who they are in God. And my goal is in Unshackled is to see the body of Christ set free in Jesus' name. And I prophesy over you that in this next 4 weeks, as we go through this process of being unshackled in Jesus' name, there's a verse that goes with it. You were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. Someone who's free, man, there's no restrictions there. When someone gets free, it's sometimes pretty wild to it. David got free. Remember when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into town? No one else was hungry enough to go get it. Nobody, Saul didn't care. He just wanted legalistic religion and rules and regulations. And let me tell you, I believe right now that we're facing a generation, that we have a generation right now that's sick and tired, or they will be shortly, because they've gone after reason and we've tried to reason it all out. I believe right now we live in a world that's going to be sick and tired of reason, and we need a revelation of faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a revelation of God's goodness, and it's a revelation of His power, and it's a revelation of His miraculous energy that will set you free and put you on a road that will transform lives in Jesus' name. But you can't reason that out. You can only faith it out, okay? That's why we have to enlarge our capacity, enlarge your capacity. See, I believe we can go as far as our capacity. That's why I love. That's why the gym really, I was going to say turns me on, but my beautiful wife of 44 years turns me on. The gym is just good for you, okay? But what it does, it stretches and enlarges your capacity. And it's so easy not to go. It's so easy to remain as you were. And I want to challenge you today, one more time, are there any hungry people in the house? Because I believe our hunger is a huge part. Let's show. I've got a little film clip I want to show you about breaking or getting out of the chains in Jesus' name. Come on. Unshackled. I don't know whether you've seen that movie, Ben Hur, but I'll tell you right now, you've got to have something in your spirit. And that's the deposit I'm talking about this morning. There's nothing like a breath of God in your spirit that'll give you the energy. Because I tell you what, chains don't just break. Sometimes you've got to break out of the shackles that are holding you. You're under the water there, struggling for air. But there was something in his spirit. We've been watching our eye group's been, I hope every eye group's been doing it actually, is what's it called? I can't remember now. Warfare. Spiritual warfare, the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God. And let me tell you right now, you've got to put on this stuff. You've got to put it on. One thing I'll tell you about the armor of God, it doesn't just, that's why it says pick up the flipping sword of the Spirit. It doesn't just turn up. Sometimes you get out of bed and it's not in your hand and you're trying to go into the day without it. But you've got to put on the armor of God every day. And I believe that there's something about in the spirit realm of your spirit is preparing yourself for the battles that are before you, okay? I don't believe fear can, you know, your body is just a shell, okay? A lot of you spend a lot of money on this container trying to make it look pretty. But the thing is, when your spirit's gone, nobody wants you. They bury you when you're gone. When your spirit's out of this body, I don't care how much you spend on the container making it look good. If the spirit is not great, nobody wants it. And the reality is that God has given us the opportunity to come and fellowship together and get under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and get God in our lives so that our spirit becomes bigger than the outside, okay? And I believe today, and I believe through this series, the value that you put on yourself, sometimes we put makeup on and we get all this stuff happening and we spend a lot of time and money on the container. But the reality is the value that's on your life, as Danny taught us just a couple of weeks ago, the value on your life is not about the container, it's what's on the inside. It's what's on the inside of you. It's how beautiful you are on the inside. It's how passionate you are on the inside. It's how your spirit can be an overcomer. You'll overcome on the inside before you ever overcome on the outside. That's what that video is about. Ben-Hur, if you haven't seen the movie, watch it. Here he is in the middle of slave, chained to the slave galley of a ship, and yet never gave up his spirit. His spirit could not be broken by the whip or by the harshness of the Roman legionnaires. His spirit could not be broken. And the greatest thing the enemy can do in your life to cause you to be shackled is to break your spirit. And I believe that over the next 4 weeks, we're going to cause our spirits to arise in Jesus' name. And we're going to walk in victory that we haven't known in a while. And we're going to start to do some overcoming in Jesus' name. And I believe right across this place, in your homes, in your organizations, in your businesses, in your schools, in everything we're about, let's get ready for God to do the miraculous because we become unshackled in Jesus' name. It's easy to come used to being shackled. You can get, if you watch that movie, Ben-Hur, you'll see how some of them, it became commonplace to be shackled, to be whipped, to be shackled, to be, this is our destiny, there's nothing else for it. It's easy to get into the rut of feeling that this is it. And you begin to adjust your life and your behavior. You become quiet on the inside. You don't have a shout any longer. You don't have a victorious shout any longer because you become content. Even though you don't like it, you become content. An entire nation called the Israelites for 430 years became content under Egyptian slavery. It was only when God raised up a man of revelation called Moses. I believe let's raise up some people of revelation in Jesus' name. Let's prophesy over people so they become revelationary and not reasonary, and let's start to live the life that Christ has totally, completely beforehand set out before us and gone prepare for us. That's not just heaven he's talking about. That's not just heaven he's talking about. That's right here, right now in a real life. That Jesus has already gone before you and won the victory in Jesus' name. Let's not be containers that look good on the outside, but on the inside we're dead as, just bury you. Nobody wants a body that no longer has a spirit on the inside. Notice that? Nobody wants it. No matter how good you make it look, nobody wants it. But we paint up our bodies and we do a lot of work on our container to try and make it look acceptable, even though sometimes on the inside, what's there is really half dead. I believe let's unshackle our spirits and live a life that has the victory of Jesus Christ in it. Amen? So we're in this series right now. In fact, we've titled our year Uncharted, which I love that this whole year. I love it, Uncharted. And you don't want to go. You may start the year out shackled, but by the end of the season, I want to tell you, you're going to be unshackled to enjoy the uncharted destiny that God's got for you. And I believe that we walk into the destiny of God by being unshackled and getting rid of some of the chains that have held us. Come on, Inspire. I believe right now, let's put it together in our lives, in our spirit, and let's get excited about what God's got in our future in Jesus' name. because I think we can live in the norm if we like, but I'm really excited about this month called Unshackled. I said, I'm really excited about this month called Unshackled. I don't know. Have you forgotten how good it was to get free? I mean, maybe I should give the altar call right now and just people want to get saved, maybe. I don't know. But when you have been saved, we take that so for granted. But I can still remember 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night when Jesus set me free. I was unshackled, man, let me tell you. Unshackled. I arrived at work the next day. I was a scary individual. Because someone that's been unshackled, they are free, man. And I arrived at work the next day. It upset the entire workplace. The day after I got unshackled, I arrived at work with a Bible. I mean, that's pretty full on, I've got to admit. But it was full on. And why not be full on? We're unshackled. We've been set free when the chains are gone. You saw him when he came to the top of that water. And some of you, I want to have you breathe for a while. Have you breathed? Like he was without air, and you saw him when he hit the surface. It was like, has anybody ever? I'm a diver. Man, I'm a diver. I'm a scuba diver. I know what it is to be down there with no gear. No air. 90 feet down with no air. 90 feet down, and you've run out of oxygen, which is a little bit of, but you know, and some people would quit right there because the spirit's so flipping pitiful. It's never had to break through any barriers. They'd give up there. They'd let go of the bag of scallops that I had. I had a bag, I don't know how many scallops I had in it, but there were a lot of scallops, and it was the last 10 scallops that took my last bit of air. I remember looking at my gauge, 90 feet in the Whangaroa Harbour, and I looked at my gauge and it said zero, but I could see the biggest scallops I'd seen in the whole dive. They were in front of me. And I thought, we're going to take you, babies. And I thought, yeah. And so I went a little bit further, just pressed myself a little bit further. Now, diving would teach you that this is not clever. But anyway, I kept going. And I got those 10 scallops and I put them in my bag. And then I realized I went to go, and of course, nothing there. Nothing. But I knew that if you can get to 10 feet, there'll be air. And I had a decision to make in a moment. Do I leave the scallops behind and save my life? Or do I exercise the spirit within me and save both? And I grabbed those flipping scallops and I pedaled like I've never pedaled before. I wished I had that little gas bottle. I'd already used that up. You've got a gas bottle on you. Sometimes you can press that and you come out of the water like a Polaris missile. But I'd already used that. And the last dive, I pedal like anything for the first 10 feet, and when you get to 10 feet, you've suddenly got air in your comp again, in your bottle again, sorry, and I took a breath, and it was like the sweetest breath, and then I pedaled all the way to the top, still with my big bag of muscles, of scallops, sorry, in my hand, and got to the boat I think we had 5-6 kids maybe in the boat because every kid was valued at 20 scallops apiece. And I remember getting to the top of these things, and when I got to the top, man, it was like, boy, it was good to get that air on the inside here and just to breathe out, whip that flipping mask off and just breathe in beautiful air. Freedom, there's nothing like it, friend. Don't forget your salvation. There is nothing like it. I remember we went on the way back from that trip and we called into the gas station. We went out in a 10-foot aluminium dinghy with our 6 kids, 5 kids, I think, and 2 divers. There was about that much freeboard. I remember we got back. I remember pulling in to get some gas. And I remember these guys pulled up in this huge flash-looking boat and I was getting gas in my car. They pulled up beside me and just chatting to the guy, and he leaned over and he said, "How many scallops did you get?" And I said, "Oh, we did all right." And I said, "How did you do?" And he said, "Mate, there's no scallops out there." And then he said, "Did you see those idiots out there in the 10-foot dinghy with all their family on board?" I said, "Yeah, those idiots got a full quota for every person on board." And anyway, I don't know whether that's good, but it's a great story. And And I don't know where I was going with that, but I tell you what, if you'll go the extra mile, if you'll push through a little, if you'll believe, but what we were saying there's nothing like the fresh breath of freedom when you've been set free, saved. When I got to the top of that water, man, I tell you, that first breath is beautiful. And we need to remember the breath of God where he set us free in Jesus' name. We're no longer in bondage. My Bible says that we are totally and completely set free from the chain. That's why we've got this series right now called Unshackled, because we want a bunch of people that are walking in the freedom of what Christ won for you at Calvary. So to be unshackled, to live in that, to live in the victory of that and to walk in that, broken chains, let's get free of the chains that are on our lives. And I want to tell you right now, we can have it, but we've got to press through. You've got to do a little bit of work to get it, okay? A little bit of work to get it. It doesn't just happen. But God wants you out of your chains. And so our scripture is Galatians 5:13. You were called to freedom. And I believe that every one of us here is called to freedom. And many times the chains that continue to bind us are powerless and indescript. Many times the chains that just continue to bind us. But because they have conditioned us out their thinking, they become an impact and a significant force in our lives that hold us back from God's victory in our world. So we're in this series called Unshackle because we're going to get free in Jesus' name, okay? And I believe it's impossible to venture into uncharted waters until you really know the freedom of God into where you can go. When Ben-Hur gets set free right there and he has to pull that chain through his leg under the water there and get free, then he begins a life that is incredibly influential and effective. I believe there are powerful people. People are influenced by God all over this place today. Shame will hold you back, but shame is an emotion. And shame can trap you and keep you with your head down, looking around like this, walking around, staggering around. But I believe the power of God would set you free today so you can lift up your heads again in Jesus' name and begin to look forward to the incredible journey that God's got for you. That's every single person in the place. No one is counted out from that. No matter where you're at, because it's easy even where you're at. You know, stuff can happen right where you're at that'll hold you back. But Jesus came to set you free. Unshackled. Yell it out. Unshackled. And like I said this morning, I reckon we need the revelation of God. I don't want reason anymore. I was with a bunch of young people on whatever night it was, Friday night, preaching the gospel. And I preached about a revelation of God will cause you to be energized like you've never been before. And I want to tell you, the power of God came down. You know, there's a generation right now sick and tired of our reason. Stop reasoning it out and get in the closet. Oh, that's a silly idea, really. Get in the prayer room and pray for God to give you a revelation of his goodness and his love. Once you know, see, Pastor Danny spoke about our identity. He related it to the deity. If you know God, then you know yourself. One of the most incredibly important keys on being set free is to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, see, I knew from the moment, 10:30 on a Wednesday night when I received Christ as my Savior, I'm like, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a hero. I'm a victorious person. I've got the love of God in me. I'm more than enough for any given situation. I am loved. I am cherished. I am chosen. Yee-haw! Sorry for waking you up. But that's enough to get anybody excited, just to know that about yourself. Somehow I knew that in a moment. That's why when I arrived at work the next day, people wondered who had arrived at work. Because it might have been the same container, but a different spirit. With a big black Bible in my hand that I had no idea how to operate. Galatians 5:13 says this. Here it is, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what's it all? What's this freedom for? See, I think if we enter into freedom and we think it's all about me, you'll lose your freedom, all right? Because you become selfish. And as Pastor Jeff put it last Sunday morning, you then become a narcissist. and start taking selfies of yourself, how cool you look. That was the coolest. I really loved what he said. They call it selfies because people who take selfies can't spell narcissist. And so we call it selfie. But people all over the planet taking selfies of themselves, of the container, and the inside is dreadfully trapped and enchained and broken and desperate. But the Bible says, if you love your neighbor as yourself, in other words, get out of your little box a little bit and expand yourself. I love what Isaiah chapter 9 says in the Living Bible, Isaiah chapter 9. For God will break the chains that bind his people and the whip that scourges them, just as he did when he destroyed the vast host of the Midianites by Gideon's little band. That's an incredible promise. I was reading that the other day and I thought, man, that's it. That's it. That's it. It's like Gideon's little band. Gideon was a loser. Gideon was full of shame and regret and reproach. He was ashamed of himself, ashamed of his family. He was filled. His whole family was living in shame, fear, and in trepidation, afraid of the Midianites. That's what they're talking about in Isaiah. Yet this one man who was full of fear, shame, regret, and just pitiful, hiding in a wine press. The Midianites are attacking, which the Bible talks about there. And yet God says through this one man, a man with shame, a man with regret, a man with fear. Anybody ever battled any of those? You're looking at one. Man, I've had to face fear, I tell you. When I was paralyzed from the neck down, fear gripped me like you wouldn't believe. Almost took me out. Almost made me never to walk again. Because I believe most things that happen in our body are related right back to the spirit realm. And what grips your spirit will grip your physical realm as well in the end. And that's why it's so important that we understand what it is to be unshackled in Jesus' name. Let's get unshackled in our spirit and let's change the world. Hello. Hello. Psalm 107, man, I'll tell you what, the Bible's just full of it. Then he cried out to the Lord then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, out of the utter darkness that they were in, and he broke away their chains. Then the next verse is so cool. Then they gave thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. That's in Psalm 107 and verse 14. Then they gave thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. For he breaks down gates of bronze and he cuts through bars of iron. That's the God I serve. Yeah, one or two will agree. In verse 20 of the same, most of you know, Psalm 107 verse 20 says this. It says, he sent his word and healed their disease. The word of God will unshackle you today. Just a pure word of God. Get into the word of God. I don't know whether you're into the word of God, but I want to tell you, get into the word of God. It'll change your life in Jesus' name, okay? God is very intentional. God is not just a mishap God. It's not. Nothing just happens. I believe God is very intentional. God plans every step of the way. Whatever he does on purpose. If God's activating in your life this morning, it's on purpose. If God's silent in your life, he's silent for a reason. There's a reason sometimes that God's silent, that he steps back. He's waiting for our response. Sometimes God is just saying, hey, when are you going to? If he's doing nothing, he is doing nothing intentionally on purpose. And I believe we need to be aware of the ways of God, of the actions of God. We've got a whole Bible full of promises here that we can study all through the Bible. Almost every page of the Bible is intentional effort of God to change a nation in Jesus' name. And he wants to change our lives this morning. But we need to have an accurate understanding. And what God's trying to say is, this is who you are. This is who you are. But we forget who we are. We think we're nobodies and nothing in a world that's full of all different kinds of personalities and characters and spirit. But I want to tell you, my Bible declares to me that we are no longer prisoners of the past. That we have been unshackled by his amazing grace. And God intentionally reminds us time and time again of who exactly we are, to ensure that we all operate, not in our pitifulness and our weakness, but that we operate out of the accurate understanding of who our personality is, who our who we are created to be and what we are in God. He consistently communicates this to us. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are set free. We are significant. We are chosen. We are accepted. We are blessed. We are the head and not the tail. We're the apple of his eye. That would be good enough to get us going. The apple of his eye. We are salt. We are light. Yet I think we forget that. Why does he consistently remind us of that? And I want to just give you this before we finish today. And if I gave this a title today, it would be, Let Me Remind You of Who You Actually Are. Let me remind you of who you actually are. So in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, we join in a conversation where the angel of the Lord is talking to Gideon. And here's what he says. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said, The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Now, he didn't feel like that. He felt weak. He felt undone. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this stuff happened to me? Where are all the wonderful works that our ancestors told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, I don't care what your excuses are. Go in the strength I've given you. Go in the strength. So let's be people that don't live by excuse, but live by the word of God. Instead of complaining, let's do something about it. Instead of complaining, let's do something about it, okay? There's a great verse in Proverbs, and I'm going to finish with this today as the team come. Great verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says this. As a man, or a woman for that reason, thinks in their heart, so are they. As a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. So, in other words, my life will be a reflection of what I'm thinking about. That's why you'll find me consistently into this book. That's why you'll find me consistently praying and believing God. Because we are a direct product of our thoughts. In order for God to renew my life, he has to renew my thought life. You've got to let God get in there. Romans 12, 2, be renewed by the transforming. That's why our vision here is transforming life together, transforming your life. In order to change what's going on the outside of my body, I've got to change what's going on the inside. God wants me to look like what he thinks about me. God wants you to look like what he's thinking about you. What's God thinking about you right now? Just ask yourself that. What's God thinking about me right now? And for me, that's simple. It's like, gee, I love that guy. He is one of the coolest kids I've got. In fact, I'll just pour out another dose of the Holy Spirit on him today and another infusion of energy and strength to go the extra mile because he's such a cool kid. Are you living what God thinks about you? Or are you thinking that you should be living what your mind or your circumstances are telling you about you? Because your identity is probably the biggest area in your life. The enemy consistently uses your identity to shackle you back in your past. He'll take your identity and he'll use that to shackle you into your past. In the Garden of Eden, that's a good example. God couldn't destroy Adam and Eve. The devil couldn't destroy Adam and Eve, but what he could do was get them to doubt their identity. So he turns up to Eve and he attacks her over her identity. If you eat the fruit that is before you, God knows that you will be just like him. So she betrays who she is. She sacrifices her own spirit, her own will on the altar of who she could be, not knowing who she was. I see thousands of people do that all through life, and they wonder why they end up shackled. God had already told her, and here it is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He said, I create you in my image and in my likeness. She was already just like God. But the enemy would come along and he'd say, hey, if you eat that apple, you'll be just like him. Hey, stuff off, devil. I'm already just like him. When the enemy attacks your mind this week, devil, push off. I've got the power of God on the inside of me, and I'm just like him. Like Gideon, hey, it may not look good, but I call you a man or a woman of God. I call you mighty warriors. I call you above and not below. I call you the head and not the tail. I call you the victor and not the loser. I call you chosen and positioned in God. And in Jesus' name, right across this place right now, God, I thank you as we bow our heads. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word today. And we thank you, God, that we are a generation that will live unshackled, that we will bring a new norm to our society, and we will step out of reason, and we will step into the revelation of God. Lord, we will make this a season, Lord God, of the wonderful supernatural power of God in Jesus' name. In fact, let's create a new norm in our world and call it a supernatural norm, where people get healed, where people get delivered, where people get set free. When we turn up, the atmosphere changes in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right across this room, let your love and your power saturate every single person right now. Friend, if you're here today and you're in this building, and maybe today God spoke into your heart, maybe today you are shackled, maybe today you're not free, maybe today you would love the power of the love of Jesus to come and set you free. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've been in these services for weeks on end, but you've never had the opportunity to say, God, this is my moment right now. I want to give you the keys to my heart. I want you to unlock my heart and come and live in me. If that's you today, friend, I'm going to invite you right now in this time of prayer, in this moment of your encounter, your personal encounter with God right where you are. Friend, if that's you, why don't you just lift your hand real quick, and I'll include you in a prayer this morning. Who is that this morning? Don, I need to get my life right with God. Don, I need to make a decision today. I need Jesus on the inside. I need to become unshackled from my sin, from my past. I need Jesus right now. Friend, if that's you, real quick, lift your hand right now before we close the service. Just lift your hand up, give me a wave, and I'll pray for you, and we'll believe God for a miracle in your life, in your spirit. God bless you. God bless you, honey. That's so awesome. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Who else is here today? Is there anybody else right now? Don, I need to step in. I need the freedom of God. I need to be born again. I need to be set free of the shackles of my old life. Is there anybody else right now? Just real quick, give me a wave if that's you. And God bless you, man. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down again. Father, let's all stand together, shall we? Let's all stand right across this place. In Jesus' name, I want you all to pray this prayer with me. There are people that lifted their hands this morning. People that this is a very powerful and significant moment for. And I want you to agree with me, and we're going to pray this prayer right across this place. Come on. Jesus, I thank you for the freedom there is in Jesus Christ. Today I receive you in my heart, knowing that you have busted the chains that held me, that you have set me free by your powerful blood. Today I am free, and I walk into the victory that you have won for me. In Jesus' name, I am born again. I am delivered. I am set free. And in Jesus' name, the victory is mine. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a huge hand clap right there.